Pod Culture, episode 212, TARDIS Interruptus 2. For Monday, June 28th, 2010.
Yep.
Screw the editing.
Screw editing. We are back with a very special episode of Pod Culture. I'm Brad.
I'm Christina.
I'm Adam.
I'm Justin.
And I'm not here.
We have a semi-silent studio audience, and
sir
not appearing on this podcast.
Damn, Skippy. As you can tell, this episode sounds a little different. Why? We are taping at Studio V.
Ah, I like it. Studio V. Excellent.
So we have just got done watching the Series 5 finale.
And we're trying to shove our brains back into our ears.
My brain hurts.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Sorry. Yeah, Series finale of Doctor Who.
Yeah. So, wow.
Yeah. That was a little mind-bending there for quite a while. Okay. Actually, I think the entire thing.
Yeah. It was like, you know, I joked all season long that Matt Smith is, you know, is reminding me of George McFly.
George McFly.
Okay.
Yeah. I said that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And that's it. I've been joking all along about it.
Okay.
I can see that.
This last episode?
Back to the Future.
Yeah, Back to the Future 2.
Pretty much.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's my favorite of the three movies, actually. But
really great first part. Like, really, like, the way he was jumping back and forth in time, that was great.
Via vortex manipulator,
I loved it.
So
I still want to know who they got that from.
I think he said off the wrist. Uh-huh. There was a line.
So there was a wrist there. somebody
just got a hold of Captain Jack and chopped his hand off. Because, you know, he'll get better.
Right.
Yeah.
Grows right.
Well,
back.
Hopefully not, but this whole season, this whole series has been very Indiana Jones. And if you watch the Pandora opens, there's that scene when she's in the bar, mm-hmm. when she does get the vortex manipulator, and she's like, to the poison you just drank! You know, there's that moment.
Well, she was in the wretched hive of scum and villainy. Mm-hmm.
That, yes, she was.
I swear, if you just would have panned to the left a little bit and gone through the curtain, there probably would have been Captain Jack with Alonzo.
Alonzo.
We actually sat down, we watched, and it was very fortuitous that we watched these two other episodes beforehand.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
We watched the season opener.
Yes.
And we watched the 12th episode of the season.
The first part.
Yeah. And, wow. Because both of those, if you had to pick two episodes that tied in...
Uh-huh. It was those episodes.
Highly recommended to do that. Listeners, please do that. Watch the first and last episode.
And if you haven't watched it, turn the podcast off and save it, because...
Yeah, spoilers.
Yeah.
Spoilers!
Boom, 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 boom. Okay. And the theory that some people were saying, it was just a continuity error with...
The jacket
in the one episode with the Weeping Angels.
Yeah. Flesh and Stone.
Holy shit.
There was a lot of moments. Mm-hmm. Not just moments, but
And
moments.
We missed a couple of lines and we had to go back.
Yeah. Alright, so it opens up, you know, the last we see of the Doctor, he's getting chucked into the Pandorica and it's shutting and everything goes boom at the end
TARDIS
of the episode.
Explodes and all the stars except the sun explode, because if the sun went supernova, then there's really nothing much of the Earth that's going to be left.
The whole reality is bye-bye.
The 13th episode opens up very much like the first episode started.
Exactly. The first episode.
Yeah. Except the TARDIS doesn't crash.
Yeah.
And Amelia... which I'm glad we got to see her again. Great.
She's a great little actress.
Tremendous.
Is still, you know, apparently still had an imaginary friend. And a very vivid imagination because she's painting stars that don't exist. You know, instead of, I guess, psychiatrists telling her that, you know, she doesn't have this imaginary friend, they're telling her that, no, stars really don't exist.
And they're a myth.
They go to this, go to a museum. And at this museum, there's the Pandorica. And a couple of Daleks.
Yeah.
And
they're kind of
a fossilized
Dalek. Fossilized, yeah.
She's summoned to the museum.
That's right.
By a Shriner.
A brochure comes through the mail slot in the door, which is for the museum. And so, I guess she convinces her mom, her aunt,
to
take her to the museum, and ends up, she finds the Pandorica there on display, and...
Looking like the big cube from Hellraiser.
That's exactly what it looked like. Yeah, you're right.
I want one for a paperweight.
The Hellraiser cube?
No.
A plushy Pandorica?
There you go.
Ooh, that would be cute.
Like the plushy companion?
Yes!
Ooh, the doctor's in the companion cube. There you go.
$1 million idea. Brilliant!
So, they manage to open said Pandorica.
Amelia does.
In very much the same way that Rose in season one in episode Dalek, how she activated Dalek.
And it's always the same thing. Don't touch stuff.
It's always DNA.
Rose not touched the damn Dalek. They never would have been brought back, and we never would have had these damn problems, and we wouldn't have had the Mighty Morphin Power Daleks.
Go, go, yeah. Power Daleks!
Pretty much.
Yeah. So opens up the Pandorica, and... finds her older herself.
Amy's in the Pandorica. Wait, huh?
Can we say paradox, please?
Yeah. There were more than just a pair of doxes in this one.
Weren't they supposed to, like, faint or something when they see each other? Cause,
no, that's Back to the Future.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah.
Got mixed up.
Okay. So.
And, wait, what? But. Again, from, I think it was season one or season two. Mm-hmm. No. Season one, because it was Christopher Eccleston. In Father's Day, she was not allowed to touch her younger self, otherwise, boom.
Well, remember, this is Stephen Moffat,
and
Stephen Moffat's rules.
That's true.
This season felt like an entire reboot, a freshness.
Well, we've had that now.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
Literally.
Because, all right, we all know that they're not going to kill off the Doctor. Maybe they might kill off a companion, but we've already know that she had been signed for season six, so she'll be back.
Yep.
Which is good.
I love me some Amy.
Yeah, she can just read a damn phone book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I think I like Amelia better than Amy.
I've watched the episodes on mute before.
I like the name Amelia better than Amy.
She was a
fairy tale.
Take a drink, because I love her.
Oh.
Okay, now we should explain. We have created the pod culture drinking game.
We've added more rules.
Yeah,
and the first rule is anytime...
The first rule of the pop culture drinking game is you don't talk about the pop culture drinking game.
Yes. But every time Christina over here says, I love something, we have to take a drink. So this might be happening
a lot.
A lot. So we all have soda here, so we're not going to get blitzed.
And more drink.
And bear,
more drink.
And bear with us, because much like this episode, we're going to be bouncing around.
A lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wibbly wobbly timey TARDIS.
Pretty much. Which we didn't see a lot of the TARDIS, really.
She was busy blowing up.
Yeah, she was stuck in
Can I mention my favorite part of the episode? Or, well, okay.
All right. The stuff between the opening and the end?
Well, yes.
Yeah,
but,
pretty much.
But the fact that we get to see her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that...
Her
Guess
dad
what?
Looks like Danny DeVito.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I was thinking about
a
that. The penguin.
Yeah, yeah.
But no.
But he didn't have to be much larger to be larger than Danny
That's
DeVito.
That's true, yeah.
This is the true brilliance of Stephen Moffat, though, because we got something old, the Doctor. We got something new. We got something borrowed. And we got something blue, the TARDIS. Now, okay, now, Adam, as you were saying before, what kind of a madman can write like that and be so brilliant? Well, we have our answer, don't we? Moffat is not technically my master now, but he's pretty damn close. That's all I've got to say.
He's not me yet.
Okay, you know, technically that would be treason because you're swearing allegiance to a British national when we're all Americans here.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Justin, but you're going to have to die.
I'm done.
I'll go with you, Justin.
Well, this is my first and last episode of Pod Culture.
But I can only imagine what the outline of this episode looked like.
It's like
for
that
him.
Bit the in Flash Forward with all the strings.
Or Hero and
Or Primeval, the time thingy.
Yeah.
There's lots of string involved.
What's his face does?
You take a string.
And ball it up. Thank you, Al.
A little quantum leap going on here. Sorry.
Nice.
Yeah. But, okay, all right, so where were we in the... I don't know.
I love it when doctor was... They were in the museum, and he was... It was a really cool thing at the beginning because you think it's like, oh, he's coming back and forth, and then you finally see they're in the museum. You see what he was doing.
Oh yeah,
when he was coming back and forth, he had a mop in his hand. And
the fez.
The fez.
I can buy another fez.
And I love the bit. They're like, really a fez? And Amy takes it off and throws it, and then River shoots it.
This is cool. Now, what was it? Like maybe a month after the season started, I read something on Yahoo that stated that sales of bow ties in the UK were up by 70%.
So I wonder
if the same is going to be for fezzes. That's all I'm saying.
Probably not. I doubt it.
No, maybe. God, I don't know.
Fezzes are a little harder to pull off than bow ties.
Well, look at
true, yes. I want to actually
buy that
monkey.
Yeah, tassels.
Look
and
at Chuck Taylor's. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
We have someone who has them on.
I have my red ones.
It's my house, so I'm in my socks, but normally I would be wearing
Chuck Taylor's. You have your red ones on, beautiful.
Yeah.
So I want a pair of red ones. But anyway, yes, so...
And a tweed jacket.
With leather elbow patches.
Too damn hot.
Yes, but like I love the fact... That when the doctor was with the two puns, he said, "Come along, puns," you know, and just the fact that he used Amy's last name, it's more of a professor-student relationship,
and that's
beautiful.
That's how it should. That's how it used to be. That's how.
Well, that's
Sylvester McCoy and Ace. That's how it was.
Yeah, Professor. Okay. Well, I think right. Even. Earlier than that, doctors. But
yeah. He's a lot of... I see a lot of Sylvester McCoy in him.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Patrick Troughton, at least especially in this episode. It seemed, from what little I have seen of Patrick Troughton's stuff, when it comes to classic doctors, I do lean more towards, Sylvester McCoy, because he's a short, sarcastic little bastard.
Wow.
Like Adam?
It's so perfect.
Yeah, like Adam. Like me.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, like, can I just say, though, that, okay, I'm not a classic Doctor guy. I've never really seen any of the classic episodes, but this season...
For shame, you have Netflix!
Netflix it, which is going to be on my list as soon as I get home.
You have high-speed internet. BitTorrent.
Yes. Well, BitTorrent, I'm not really a big fan of.
Buy an external hard drive.
I do plan on getting that, but this season feels very much like a classic season. And this doctor feels like a classic doctor. And, so one of the big gripes that I had, and, a lot of fans had about RTD, was the big reset button that we all knew was coming at the end. Okay, now there was a reset button here, and of course there kind of has to be with every season, but this one felt fresh, and it felt new, and it did not feel like
it. Hadn't been done before.
Right.
Yes.
No one's kind of really ended the universe.
Achievement like unlocked. Yeah, you have watched Doctor Who.
Oh, actually, Glenn's on.
Glenn's on. Hello, Glenn.
Glenn joins us on the podcast.
But I will.
Hi, Glenn.
But I will never look at the sun the same again. I'm always going to be thinking.
TARDIS.
Maybe that's.
I'm sorry, my love. But yes, I mean, like, okay, so after. The whole a museum thing, then they... I mean, it really gets confusing.
He's calling Glenn.
It goes back and forth.
You think they can hear him?
We'll see. Stop playing Red Dead.
That's what he's doing.
Exactly.
Hey, Glenn!
Hey.
Hey, Glenn!
Hi, Glenn!
Speak up, because you're on the show!
What's that?
Speak up, you're on the show!
I'm on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just got done watching the season finale of Doctor Who.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Adam had his 360 on, and we hear this little bloop, and son of a gun if it's not Revenger.
Yep, time for some Xboxing.
Red Dead. You playing Red Dead?
I would, but I just got an invite to try the new Onslaught mode for Battlefield Bad Company 2, so...
Ooh, beautiful.
Although I'm, like, so close to the end of the storyline with Red Dead, I want to do that, but I'll probably save that for tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let you get back to the game. We just saw you come online. We figured it'd be funny to get you in on a cameo.
Yeah, cool. That's a pleasant surprise. Definitely didn't expect that.
Well, with the season finale, we figured we recorded a special themed episode, so...
Yeah, cool.
All right. Well, good luck with the game.
You guys enjoy, have fun, and I'll get back to my Xboxing.
All right, later, dude. Bye.
Oh, he didn't say BC
in
you.
Yeah, I was hoping he'd say sign off, Glenn. Sign off.
Okay, I thought that was fun. Yes. And now back to our regularly scheduled program.
If Nathan Fillion can call... Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk.
During the panel, can call Glenn.
That was hysterical.
Is Glenn our wash then? Is that what you're saying?
Oh. Well, he does fly.
He does. Well, he's not a pilot.
So Glenn has to be pierced through the chest with the...
He doesn't fly.
That's only fictional romance.
Here's something I found a little bit interesting from a costuming perspective. Remember who was wearing black to Amy's wedding?
Okay.
I didn't notice that, actually.
Well, she knew that the doctor, as far as the river knew, at that point, the doctor was gone.
And then there were her parting words of, I'll meet you soon, and then that's where everything changes.
Yeah. So is that going to be, like, next season?
Yeah.
Or they might just leave it hanging for a while?
I don't know.
They might,
or
yeah.
She might wind up killing the doctor,
but
she killed the greatest. Because
we didn't. We still don't know, do we?
Nope.
No. Why she was
no.
in
no.
Storm Cage?
No, she because no. she had killed someone, and
she's not even a doctor. Like
damn you, Stephen Moffat, tying up loose
no,
ends.
No,
but loose ends have been tied up most the
for the most part.
For the most part, the cracks
for
have
the
been,
most part. But I love how this is the first, like, the transition from this season now to the next season. We are keeping the same doctor, we are
Yay.
Keeping the same companion,
Yay.
And we are keeping Rory.
Yay!
Yay.
Now, I want, is Rory still
Auton?
He's back to his original flesh and blood.
Back
flesh and blood.
To reality. Yeah. No, but
I thought that would have been kind of cool to keep him.
I know, that would have been a neat little
Trust the plastic.
Story device.
Trust the plastic, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would have liked that. Because he has his own built-in gun.
Yeah. He's very Night at the Museum.
He could have still kicked Mickey's ass, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Tin Dog versus Auton. I think Auton's going to win 9 times out of 10.
His balls drop and he's better.
Yeah.
But, okay, now Brad said something after the episode, very interesting. Now, the way the episode ends is very interesting, and I don't really want to... Well, okay, we can spoil it.
Yeah.
Spoilers!
The way the Doctor gets out of the Pandorica and everything's reset, Amy has to remember him and remember the times that they had together.
And you see little flashes of... Okay, she sees a bow tie. She sees the suspenders. She sees little bits and pieces of the Doctor, and she cries and... Magically, her tears bring the doctor back. It's
no, but she
wait, she cries on River's journal.
Yeah, she notices the journal, the bluest blue you've ever seen.
But then Brad put up a very interesting question: did Stephen Moffat just reset the regenerations?
I think so, because they're getting awful damn close to the end.
They are, and we all know that.
Is it 13
lives, 12 regenerations.
12 regenerations.
12 regenerations.
So, yeah, we're getting pretty damn close, and technically the Doctor died again, but he didn't regenerate. Wibbly-wobbly timey TARDIS.
Yes. had seen in Turn Left, the Doctor had died.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Too. Because you just, you see the arm
but that was,
fall.
Yeah, and that was,
yeah.
That was a what could have been.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But in classic series, there was a line, I think it was in a William Hartnell episode, and listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a line to the fact that, William Hartnell's known... thought to be the first Doctor, and that's what he... But there was a line that kind of contradicts that in an episode.
Yeah.
Where there had been... He had had regenerations prior to that.
But he does... Matt Smith does at one point say 11, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the logic, he does say that.
Or something like
that. Yeah, at least from the new series, they've kind of established it going forward. That
Have you guys talked about anything past Flesh and Stone since
We haven't really done a special episode. I think maybe during the off season we might
rewatch.
Start a rewatch at least of the new series and go forward and try to do something like that.
What I'd kind of like to do is like you guys give me a Doctor to watch, kind of like homework, and then I just start watching the classic series because Netflix has a shitload of
old Colin Baker.
No!
I don't want to watch
Baker. No. See, reminds me too much of Richard Simmons.
And that's why he doesn't watch it.
Wow.
That's why I don't want to watch it.
That's a scary comparison, but I see it.
Yeah.
No, I know he's a very sweet person because of an interview that I saw
Sweating
with...
to the TARDIS.
That is an episode title. I'm sure of it.
We need to start writing this shit down.
We have a it's a drawing notebook.
Here, I'll text myself.
It's always that whole recording thing you're putting on the internet.
That's true. We do have it on.
Yes.
I'll just text myself.
Text yourself.
So
technology.
You know, they leave it wide open to where they're going to go from here. Although we hear
the Orient Express. Cleopatra.
In Cleopatra. Well, they said
in space.
An Egyptian goddess.
Egyptian goddess.
Goddess.
On the Orient Express in space.
Which kind of reminds me of the Titanic episode.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and the Titanic episode, like, I really like that episode. A lot of people
don't. Hey, maybe Alonzo's working on that one.
I love that.
That would be fantastic.
Okay, Stephen Moffat, what I want you to do for the next episode of Torchwood, or the next season, put Alonzo on Torchwood, please.
But you'd have to have a cage in Torchwood because the guy turns into a werewolf.
He does. He's a werewolf.
True, but still, that would be a very interesting... I mean, he would place Yanto. Yanto.
I want him back on being human. I don't want being human to go away.
Is he on being human?
Why do they keep Annie around?
I did not know that. That's another show I need to watch.
I need to watch that one.
Yeah.
So much like TV, so little time.
Yeah, now, okay. Short season, so it doesn't take as much.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, we actually have another person here who's kind of staying silent in the background, and I really don't want to embarrass him, but... As a relatively new Doctor Who fan, and he's only seen 3 episodes of this season, what did you think, Andrew?
Of the episode?
Of the episode.
Of what you've seen so far of Matt Smith.
Of what you've seen, yeah.
Matt Smith's Doctor.
Better than 10? Is he worse? What personality quirks do you like?
I really don't know much about him.
Okay.
I mean, most people get somehow connected and get like caught up in David Tennant, but... I've only got halfway through season 2.
Yeah.
And I still can't really tell big differences between David Tennant and Christopher Eccleston.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
David Tennant has smaller ears.
That's true.
And more hair.
Tennant doesn't really establish himself, I don't think, at least in my opinion, until season 3.
Yeah.
And that's when he finds his own... but it seems like Matt Smith has really found... himself, at least, like, a lot quicker.
Sooner.
I don't know.
I've enjoyed it because he's, you know, it's like, ooh, he's even younger than Tennant.
Yeah.
But he's done very well at playing an old man.
Kind of a playful old soul type.
If you don't get choked up in the scene where he's sitting in young Amelia's room and he's talking to her while she's sleeping, if you don't get a lump in your throat... check yourself for being an Auton, because it's so good.
You have no soul.
You may be an Auton if.
But now, okay, all right. I will be the first to admit that when I first heard of Matt Smith and heard of him being cast as a Doctor, I said, no fracking way. This guy's going to be horrible. And then,
I was very skeptical.
He's like 12.
But Matt Smith had me at apples. That's all. He was...
apples?
Okay, shut up. But I mean, it just
what's
it like? Okay.
Carrots, are you insane?
Are you insane? Carrots, stay out! Which, by the way, we had a small little party, and we were talking about Doctor Who type foods, and we thought maybe bow tie pasta salad.
I brought decorative vegetables.
You did bring decorative vegetables. Carrots. Maybe bacon.
And celery. We got celery.
Yeah, celery, bad beans.
but sadly, none of us are Scottish, so we couldn't fry anything.
Couldn't fry anything. No, no, no.
And no fish bread and custard. Butter.
Now you're talking.
I thought about it, though.
Yeah. It's just... But yeah. I mean, you're right, though. He is 27, but he does very well at playing a very old soul. That's all I gotta say. So
yeah, his confidence. He gained my confidence when he first regenerated. Like right after he was kind of goofing around with the, you know, oh, nose and, you know, chin and
I'm a girl.
It's like the hair still not a ginger. You know, that encouraged me. But the whole scene where he says, "I'm the doctor," or "Trust me, I'm the doctor." Yeah. That kind of sealed it for me.
I'm a madman with.
I am definitely a madman with a box.
That took me to the next step as well. I'm definitely a madman with a box. Ha ha! You know, his little laugh that he does. Now, I love that little laugh.
Yes.
It's great.
Okay. Now the new TARDIS, we didn't get to see as much of it as we wanted to.
It was busy blowing up.
It was busy
and
blowing up. Yes, but
blowing up again.
Time loop. Over and over again, which just blew my mind.
Did she remember that if it's a time loop, does she
keep those memories?
Because River is basically caught in the heart of the explosion, and the sun in this alternate timeline Earth, I guess, is the TARDIS exploding,
keeping the Earth warm.
Keeping the Earth warm. Because I guess, you know, trying.
Because I wonder what happened to the actual sun.
It went out.
Yeah.
Did it explode? If it exploded, it would have taken Earth with it. I'm just saying.
It got better. Well, the TARDIS was protecting it because, you know, the TARDIS.
Maybe that's the end of the world that Rose and Dr. Nine witnessed.
Yeah. Oh, wow. you have won the internet for the most interesting theory ever.
That was far in the future.
Yeah. But still, I mean...
Where apparently they still listen to Britney Spears. Yeah.
Hey, her music is timeless crap.
Crap is timeless.
Crap is timeless.
Yes, much like this podcast. So, I think it was safe in saying, you know, to try and wrap this little miniature episode up.
Yay.
I'm giving it 5 out of 5.
Yeah,
it's 5 out of 5.
It was a big event.
It did not disappoint.
No,
did not.
But it had a happy ending.
I'd say for how well crafted this season has been. In hindsight now, seeing how well crafted it was, I give it an 11.
Yeah, but
ooh. There you go. 11.
11.
Turn it up to 11.
It goes in honor of Stonehenge and Matt Smith. I give it an 11.
But you see, this is the thing about British sci-fi is that everything fits together. Even when...
For the most part.
Yeah. For the most part. Even when we thought there were going to be continuity errors and the jackal with his doctor off in Flesh and Stone and the little shadow in the 11th hour, but it all fit back together. And when it does...
Seamlessly.
In the final episode, OMG, there's so many moments, like Adam said, when you're just like, what? What? Oh my God!
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
I want to watch it again.
Yeah, I was going to watch it again.
Let's go.
Okay.
So,
Let us know what you thought.
Watch it.
Definitely.
Yeah. Call the voicemail.
Call the voicemail line. It's on the website, but I think it's 812-672.
Well, just throw
4763.
The rap thing.
I am going to.
So they'll get all this information.
But much like.
Timey wimey, wibbly wobbly. Nice. It goes ding when there's stuff.
Yeah. All right. So that's our views and ramblings on The Big Bang. I thought it was going to end up being a two-parter because they kept saying Big Bang 2. So I thought that might have been a cliffhanger.
Oh,
leading into the Christmas special.
I would have been very, very angry.
Yeah, and I think there would have been a lot of nerd rage.
Yeah.
Nerd rage.
So angry people.
But let us know what you thought, and we will be back with more pod culture later on. We're out of here.
Cheers.
Have a good one.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnickturtle.com.
And if you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are a few different ways.
You can email us, feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That is 812-672-4POD.
Leave us a comment on the website, podculture.net, or in our forums located at farpointforums.com.
So drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3. Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.
But what about Rory?
Oh, yes, Rory.
Ah, screw it. We'll save it for another podcast.